The Lord is good. When the ministers gathered in the room there, we were singing and clapping and dancing. And Papa said, it's a special day for Dr. Keller this morning. And none of them knew what was special. They thought it was my birthday. It's not my birthday. I am November the 1st. I opened November. I'll let her tell you, she knows. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is my wife's birthday today. Somebody said wedding anniversary. No. But of course, Papa said it is related to wedding. And I said, oh yeah, it is related, because if she was never born, then we would never have got married. Praise the Lord. You know, she is my aburo. And she married my aburo. And we were together in the United States. We were together at Terre Haute, Indiana State University. And her firstborn and my firstborn were born the same day in the same hospital. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. On Tuesday, we started with gifts of the Spirit. And what I did was to just talk to us generally, to let us see the importance of the gift of the Spirit in the work of the gospel. And I said that most of us Christians don't care. Believe me, it is true. You can see a congregation of 1,000 people. In some of them, you will hardly see one person really manifesting the gifts in some congregations. And I think that we have missed it. Jesus never sent out anybody without power to do miracles. He did not. And when we don't have the gift, we suffer where we should not suffer. When we begin to take them one by one, you are going to see that there are times when we suffer when we ought not to. But the reason that we are suffering is because we have not tried to bring ourselves to the point where we can know things. Are you with me? Okay. So the gift is a blessing to the one who is given, and it is a blessing to the body of Christ. Anybody who will want to receive of that blessing. So today I will begin to go into aspects of a gift, and I will begin by asking, what is a gift? Somebody tell me, what is a gift? A gift is a present. What is a present? Yes, ma'am. A gift is something given to you which you did not deserve or which you did not expect. Sometimes you expect a gift, don't you? Sometimes you expect a gift. Sometimes a gift is deserving. Abi? But it is still a gift. So what is a gift? Yes, ma'am. Something rendered to you. Something given to you free. You did not pay for it. you can render, she used the word render, which doesn't mean that it is given to you free. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. It can be your own thing being rendered to you. That's what Jesus said, have you? He says it belongs to Caesar, so give it to Caesar. Okay. But something given to you free, that's a gift. Even if you deserved it. Hallelujah. Sometimes in Nigeria, they actually demand it of you. I mean, this country is very special. Very special. A man is doing his job in his office. He gets paid at the end of the month. But before he serves you, he demands a gift. Strange. Very strange. A few years ago, my wife and I wanted to travel. We were thinking our passports must have expired. Let's put them in order in case we would travel. Then we couldn't find both passports. We stormed our brains. We couldn't find both passports. Then we said, okay. But I kept telling my wife, I think they must be in Ibadan. She said, no. She said, we brought them to Ilorin. Why would we leave them in Ibadan? Our house in Ibadan. We said, okay, let's go and begin to apply for new ones now. So I went to the passport office. They said we must go and get a police report. So I went to A division to get a police report. And when I got there, I stood at the counter. I told them what I wanted. Now the sergeant told one other officer to write the report for me. And of course, you know, they told me to go up there and buy two sheets of paper, one for me, one for my wife, and bring for them to write the reports. Thank God for Nigeria. You want to get a police report, the police tell you go and buy a sheet of paper to write it with. So I went, I bought the two sheets of paper, I brought them to the police officer. He took them and sat down and kept looking at me, and he saw that I was not putting my hand in my pocket. Then he said, this report where doesn't make a right now, walk. I said, thank God you are at work. He said, what do you go give us? I said, officer, do your work. I have my own job. And if I want people to give me money on my own job, I will make money. As a university lecturer in a country where even many parents are not disciplined, where your children can come home and ask for money to give to the lecturer and you will give your children. I said, if I want to be asking for money, I know how much people will be ready to give. All I need to do is pass them. Abi? He kept quiet. After some time, he turned to the sergeant. He said, they are not ashamed. They are not ashamed. There were people standing there at the counter. They are not ashamed. He talked to the sergeant. He told the sergeant, may I not go write anything? The sergeant said, the man said you should do your work. Didn't you hear him? Then he started to write the report. And after he wrote, he now gave the two to me. He said, take. Go to that building. That's a story building. There. He said, go to that building. Go to this floor. This office. You will see a woman sitting there. She will sign it for you. Then I took them from him. He said, when you get there, you go see. I can't believe this country. It means whether you like it or not, when you get there, you pay. That's what he was saying. So I took the sheets of paper. I went there, I went upstairs, I saw the lady. Afternoon, ma'am. She greeted me. I said, I was told to bring this here for your signature. She took them from me, signed them, gave them back to me. I made a U-turn. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then I got back, went to my car, zoom. Then I said, wait a minute. Let me now go back to the counter and give them money and let them know that a man can do them such a blessing out of his free will. I said, I have proved my point. So I now got down, went there. I must have given them like 200 naira. I said, go and buy Coke, all of you. then they started to thank and thank and thank. I hope you follow me. By the roadside, that time it was 10 naira per vehicle now. So somebody just gave you 200 on the counter. They thanked and thanked and thanked. And I got in my car and I drove away. The same passport situation now. I went to the passport office. Come back next Tuesday. I will come back. I made up my mind. I will continue to come back until they issue my passports. They were waiting for money. I will come the next Tuesday. Oh, it's not ready. Come back next Tuesday. I'll go again. And I will reappear the next Tuesday. Then finally, we found our passports in Ibadan. So, I now sent Mrs. Awuleye, now Awuleye, because she was at the Federal Secretariat, and she knew she knew him. I said, please tell this man that I don't want the passport again. We have found our passports. She now went and told him. I wrote and gave to her to cancel the application. Okay. She now went. And then when she came back, he said, the man read my letter. And the man said, this man. Just like that. This man. Which had enough meaning. Oh, follow me. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, as much as possible, let us stay away from unrighteous gifts. You know, we don't help Nigeria to improve when we contribute to such things. But a gift is something that you get free of charge. Comes as the free will of the one that's given it. When you demand it, it's an extortion. I hope you follow me now. When you demand it, it's an extortion. In Nigeria, what you get most of the time is an extortion. And I know in many cases, if you don't give it, you're in trouble. Ever traveled across the borders? Oh my goodness. Ask Papa. They will take your passport, they will put it away. Until you give them, they will do nothing to your passport. Of course, when I was in Ghana and I traveled frequently, God gave me a special favor. Somehow a lot of them got to know me. As soon as I come out of the passport, say, Pastor, but even on the Bini passport, Bini side, they will call me Pastor. One day I traveled with a lady, Oge Bas. She wept. It was this female immigration officer standing. Madam, money. Oge did not want to. She was weeping. The woman was standing. Toba sokuta ko muwa. So what sort of thing is it? So I came by. I said, Oge. I said, give it to her. God now knows clearly where you stand. I hope you follow my point. Jesus said, if anybody will force you to go 1 mile, he said, go 2 miles. You're covered. You're covered. I said, give her. So she gave her. We left. I said, okay. You make your stance known. When it becomes a matter of holding you for ransom, pay and redeem the time. God knows where you stand. I said, by the time you quarter, at each border, you have immigration, you have customs, you have narcotics, you have about four or five different stands, each person waiting for his own. I said, when you quarter 5 times on this side, 5 times on that side, then you go to the next border, 5 times on this side, I said, by the time that you get to Ghana, you won't even know if you are a Christian anymore. Praise the Lord. May God help us. Amen. For a gift, there are basic concepts, basic facts about anything which is a gift. Basic facts. But before we begin to look at the basic facts, I want us to read from Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want somebody who can read loud to read from verse 1 through verse 11. Somebody who can read loud? 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another designing of the Spirit, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Praise the Lord. You stopped on 11. Yes, that's where we're going. That will be our text during these teachings. We'll read it again and again. But let's see what we observe. In what we have read, there are 9 gifts listed. 9 gifts listed in verses 8 to 10. However, there are other gifts, like Exodus 31, 1 to 6. There is this man called Bezaleel. God placed the Spirit upon him to be a master craftsman. He could work in gold and silver, stones and wood and everything. The Holy Spirit just gave him, because he was going to begin to do a lot of crafts work in constructing the things that God showed to Moses to be constructed. So there are vocational gifts that are applied professionally. Gifts that are applied professionally. There are still other gifts. Romans 12. There are ministerial gifts. In other words, he can make you an apostle, he can make you a pastor, he can make you a teacher, he can make you a prophet. Those are ministerial gifts. So gifts are then given by the Holy Spirit. 3, gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. 1, we said that there are 9 listed there, and we said that there are other gifts which we mentioned. And now 2, they are given by the Holy Spirit. But if you decide to serve the devil can give you gifts. I hope you know that.
Yes.
Oh, sure. The devil can give you gifts. In verses 4 to 6, the passage that we read, the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. They are administered by the Lord, that is Jesus Christ. And they are operated by God, the Father. When you read those verses, you will sort it out. Given by the Holy Spirit, administered by the Lord Jesus Christ, and operated by God, the Father. So, in receiving and functioning in the use of the Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved. The gifts are for the confirmation of God's word and accomplishing our mission, and all for his glory. Mark 16, 17 to 20. And these signs shall follow them that believe. You know it very well. You can go and complete it at home. Praise the Lord. John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this, because I go to the Father. Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses all over the world. There are other passages, but let us move on. Next, we now see that every believer can receive gifts. Every believer can receive. The gifts are not limited to a few people. He did not say the pastors shall receive power. He said, ye, all of you. These signs shall follow them that believe. He did not say, and these signs shall follow the pastors. No. We are the ones who misunderstand the scriptures. We think that the pastor is the one who must operate in the gifts. There are churches where there are people in the congregation who have more gifts than the pastor. Hallelujah. Unfortunately, what happens is that the pastor is envious, and many times he may not even like that person. He thinks that he is competing with him. Praise the Lord. He will be praying for that person to be transferred to another town so that he will leave his church and let me be pastor and king. It is possible for one person to have all of the gifts. It is possible for one person to have all of the gifts. Matthew 17:20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what will happen? You will say to this mountain, move. He didn't say the pastors have faith. Anybody who does, praise the Lord. And Jesus once said, it is possible for a servant to be like his master. At the best, a servant can be like his master, but he cannot surpass his master. Hallelujah. I have heard people ministering and saying, you cannot have all of the gifts. The one that you have, that is the one you keep using. Do you follow me now? That is where you stay, because you cannot have all of, it is not correct. You can have all of the gifts. What the scripture is saying, maybe we'll come to that later, is that all of the gifts don't just operate every day. The Holy Spirit decides what is triggered on what occasion. Are you following me now? It doesn't mean that you cannot have all. Even if you have the gift of the discerning of spirit, it doesn't follow that as you are walking down any street, you will see every spirit around. Are you following me now? That is the thing. The Holy Spirit decides when to prompt you about something. And frankly speaking, there may be a witch living inside your house and you may not know. Until the day that the Holy Spirit now shows you. Do you follow me? You may not be, she may be inside your house. But when the time is not due, the Holy Spirit may not even let you know. So the fact that you have a gift does not mean that it is operating every moment. No. Praise the Lord. Next, you can misuse your gift. You can misuse your gift. The book of Numbers, chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. Moses was told, stretch your rod. He heard God, didn't he? He heard God right. What did he do? He struck. You can hear God right, but you can do it wrong. So I pray that we will not do it wrong. The misuse of gifts is on the increase today, because iniquity abounds. Because we look around us, we see affluence, we see money, we see big beautiful cars, we see big beautiful houses. We begin to misuse our gifts. Doctrine begins to change. You know that exhortation is a gift. The ability to divide the word is a gift. The ability to teach sound doctrine is a gift. Do you follow me? A gift that any sincere person can have, because it is in the gift of prophecy. You prophesy by exhortation. I hope you follow me now. By doctrine, by exhortation, they come under prophecy. But when a minister begins to sink deeper and deeper into money, his message begins to move closer and closer to things that bring about money. Do you follow me now? He begins to set aside the suffering of Jesus, the blood that was shed, the death on the cross, the burial and resurrection, his ascension, and why he had to go through all of that. The minister begins to set it aside, and you can take any verse in the scriptures and you can bring it down to money. Do you follow me now? Grace. You can drive it away from salvation and eternal life from Jesus Christ. After all, there is grace in being very rich. You can take it in any direction that you want. I was listening to a minister back in the United States. He takes something from scripture. He is talking about it. Then finally he says, now let me show you how your money comes into this. Then he will begin. Now, the idea is to prime the people to bring plenty of money. Some time ago we did a review of a crusade here. A minister came. And I said to us, I believe that the man is a gentleman, and I believe that he could be a sincere minister, but I believe that he was sincerely wrong. And thank God I was not assessing him by what anybody told me. Some of you who remembered, by the time that the crusade was to take place, we told you here, don't worry. Some of you said, people have said so much. We said, don't worry, go. We teach you. Hallelujah. When you hear something that is not right, you should be able to tell it. We said, go. After the crusade, we'll discuss. And then we'll see. And I was there all 3 days. I went with a very close friend of his all the time. They are in touch. And each day I told his friend, your friend needs help. And then we went again the second day. Your friend needs help. Something is wrong. And the third day, I said he needs somebody who can call him and talk with him sincerely. By the testimony that he gave with his own mouth, I saw that he did not discern what was before him. You can answer, yes, Lord, to any spirit if you don't test the spirit. Are you following me now? Okay, we will come to discerning of spirits later. I think that he answered, yes, Lord, to a demon. He described the spirit that made it possible for him to get so rich. He described the spirit and he called it Mammon. Are you following me now? It with his mouth. He called the spirit Mammon. Everybody, what is Mammon? It is the spirit of worldliness, and himself called it Mammon. But he said it was God who said, let him serve you. Hey, how can God tell a demon to come and serve you when there are holy angels? Praise the Lord. I pray that you don't misuse your gifts. You can misuse your gifts. So be very careful not to misuse your gifts. See, the anointing is very attractive. Very. people love somebody who is anointed. Do you follow me? They say they are anointed. They have a tendency to want to move close to them. And the devil also raises some evil women to move close to them. Are you following me? And if the minister is not properly guided by the word of God, a woman can bring him down. Easy. Money can bring him down. Easy. Pride can bring him down. Easy. May the Lord help us. If you remember the story of Balaam in Numbers 22, Balaam and Balak, he was called a prophet to start with. He knew how to hear from God. He was sure he could hear from God. And Balak sent messengers to himself, okay, stay overnight, let God talk to me, Abi. And God spoke to him. But see, there was the promise, I will make you rich. Eh? I will promote you. One king is going to promote you. You stand before the Lord and one king says, I will promote you. Let us learn from Father Abraham. When he went after the confederate kings and defeated them and set Lot free and the king of Sodom and those who were with him, the king of Sodom said, hey, the spoil. Abraham said, forget it. Abraham said, for me, forget about all of the spoil. Because someday you will say that you made Abraham rich. Let me reserve that for God. Hallelujah. Let me reserve that for God. So let's be careful. Okay. Some people are afraid of operating in the gifts. Do you know that? Some people are afraid. For example, some people want to have nothing to do with demons in terms of interacting with them, positive or negative. Positive is on the wrong side. I mean, the negative is on the right side. They are your enemies. They are the enemies of the kingdom of God. There were times in the past when somebody would say to me, hey, be careful. This deliverance that you're doing, be careful. Your wife, your children, your this, they warn me. Praise the Lord. And I just laugh. What are you warning me about? Jesus said, go and do it and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you are telling me that something is going to hurt me and my wife and my children? No lie. No lie. And I tell people, my wife in pregnancy will go with me. We will go and minister deliverance to somebody. And thank God, if you know my children, the beautiful children of God. I said to people, if you're so afraid, you're so afraid. Like some ministers say, hey, never cast out a demon in your house. Go far away from your house. They don't know what distance is in the spirit world. There is no distance. It's an error. There is no distance. Go and, if you are afraid, go and cast out the demon in China. Eh? Cast it out there, then be coming back home. If you are so afraid, the demon will sit on your shoulder. You will carry it back home and you won't know. You will not know. If it is by fear, you are not safe. But if it is by faith in Christ Jesus, who said nothing shall by any means hurt you, you are safe. So don't fear. Don't fear. Those who are afraid will die before those who are not afraid. Hallelujah. Do not fear. So Jesus said, if you ask God for a fish, he will not give you what? He will not give you a snake or a serpent. If you ask for an egg, he will not give you a scorpion. If you ask for a cake, he will not give you a stone. Praise the Lord. I was having a discussion with somebody, the leader of my former church, on the issue of Holy Spirit baptism and speaking in tongues. And he read a book written by another Baptist minister at that time, a well-known pastor, preaches powerfully. So after he read the book, he gave the book to me. He said, read. Then I read. Then I took it back to him. Then we sat down, we talked about it. And the author wrote it in a very Baptistic way, no doubt. And the issue raised in it was that, hey, be careful, because there are fake tongues. So I don't, listen, this kind of doctrine, you know, is antichrist. And I ask people, in those days, there is this thing we call the Ujabu. How many Jabus are here? Any Jabus here? One? Praise the Lord. I said, everybody knew that fake currencies were out there. Didn't you spend the good ones? Did you refuse to spend money because there were fake ones?
No.
So how can you refuse the Holy Spirit because there are evil spirits? What are you afraid of? The man who wrote the book eventually became a freelance Baptist evangelist. And when I heard, I told somebody, I said, now he has to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or he will not make it. And interestingly, one of the youths in the church one day came to me, said the man came to UMTCA on a program. I think it was a youth program. And this youth in our church then was there, and he came and said, the man told them, I have written a book on the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. When I wrote that book, I did not know what I was writing. Glory to God. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. He said, what I wrote was nonsense. I didn't know what I was. Now I know. And I remember it was Papa Jolore who was called upon to give a review of the book when he launched it. And I remember Papa had said there, you wrote this one for the Baptists, now write one for the Holy Spirit. The truth is the truth. Next time, don't invite me to review your book. He didn't tell him that, but that's the meaning. I hope you follow me. If you don't want what I am likely to say, don't invite me. Period. Hallelujah. There is no fear in the Holy Spirit. There is no fear in love. Because fear hath torment. Are you with me? Because fear hath torment. Glory to God. The gifts are permanent because the gifts and calling of the Lord are without repentance. Romans 11:29. The gifts are permanent because the gifts and calling of the Lord are without repentance. When he gives you, he gives you. Whatever you want to do with it, go ahead. When the time comes, you will give account. That is all. And I said to people, be careful. Be careful to keep a cool head. I have had people do crusades and stand and pronounce terrible words. If you have the prophetic gift, it will happen, but you will have to explain to God how you used your prophetic gift. Are you following me now? Like I said to people, if God places a sword in your hand and God says, whatever you strike shall be cut asunder, you are the one who will be deciding on what to strike. Are you with me now?
Yes.
If you use it against the innocent, it will also cut him asunder. God has already given that to you, but you are going to explain to God how you used your gift. And God himself doesn't dispute that, because when God made Saul, son of Kish, king over Israel, that was the equivalent of giving him the sword. I hope you follow me. In the day that God called Samuel and said, get your horn of oil, go to the house of Jesse, you will anoint somebody that I will show to you to be king over my people. Samuel understood, and Samuel said to God, Lord, but if Saul should hear it, he will kill me. You can't dispute it. He already had the sword. He said he will kill me. And God did not say he would dare not kill you. God knew that it was possible because God had given him the sword. What God did was to teach him wisdom. How not to get killed. Are you with me? Glory to God. So be careful. You're accountable to God. Don't get drunk with power. Now the next basic fact you can exercise your gift at will. If you want a particular gift to work, in some cases you can turn it on. Hallelujah. We will touch on this later on. We'll see examples from scripture. You can turn it on and it will work. Praise the Lord. You need faith to receive the gifts and prayer. 1 Corinthians 14, the Apostle Paul said, covet the earnest of gifts. You need a desire, a strong desire, and faith. He said covet. The word covet is powerful. You can use it on the negative side, you can use it on the positive side. And that was why I said initially, in the church, we don't bother. We do not covet the gifts. And because we do not have a strong desire to have them, we don't have them. Example of covetousness on the negative side. Remember Ahab, when he wanted the vineyard of Naboth. You can see the power of covetousness. The man fell sick. I wish you would fall sick because you desire the gifts of the Spirit. He wanted a vineyard. He fell sick. He was losing weight. It took a devil to get it for him. Jezebel. So the apostle told us, covet the best of the gifts. It means set your heart on them. It means set your heart on them. Pray and fast. Importunity. I tell people, everybody knows the word importunity. But we apply it to material things more frequently than any spiritual thing. I hope you follow me. Believe me. Sometimes in the congregation I will ask people, how many of you have ever said to a prayer partner, please be praying for me. I want God to give me so much love. Because love is the fruit of the Spirit, the number one fruit of the Spirit. Please pray for me, my prayer partner, for love. Love, love, love. Hardly will you see two hands up. Hardly. Or any member of the fruit. How many people here have said to a prayer partner, please join me in prayer. I need this member of the fruit of the Spirit. Here, raise up your hand. You have said it to a prayer partner before. You're kidding me. Nobody here. Nobody. That is typical. It's typical. How many have ever gone to somebody, please join me in prayer. I'm trusting the Lord for any kind of material thing. A house, a car, a new shop. Raise up your hand. If you have ever done it, raise up your hand. You have ever told a prayer partner, join me in prayer for this thing. Oh, my son wants to get married, or my wife, anything that is. Do you get what I'm saying? Say, loosen the hands, everybody admits. Praise the Lord. So we do that one. We apply importunity on the temporal side. We don't apply it on the spiritual side. But to me, when Jesus said it, to me, it meant, look, when you desire a spiritual thing, keep knocking, keep knocking, keep knocking until God releases it to you. Otherwise, he would have contradicted himself. Because he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom and the righteousness of the kingdom. The things that we apply importunity to are the temporal things. Those are the things that he said, don't worry, they will be added unto you. Are you following me now? Okay. Those are the things. Glory to God. I'll stop here for today. Then, next Tuesday, we'll continue with the gifts of the Spirit. For a few minutes, let us take questions. Comments. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Sir, please may I come to understand the difference between gift and talents?
Praise the Lord. When Jesus gave the parable of the talents, he gave the parable to imply things given to you to work with. You follow my point? Things given to you to work with. You can apply it temporally or spiritually. Okay. So a talent is related to a gift because it is given to you. Are you following me now? A talent is so vague that it is not even mentioned under the gifts of the Spirit. not one of them was called a talent. Talent is applicable so much on the temporal side. Are you with me? When Jesus used parables, the things that he told stories about were things that were temporal, which the people could relate with. He now used them to explain the spiritual. Are you following me? For example, he would say, a sower went sowing. And he said things they knew that were happening on day-to-day basis, which they could understand. He will now use it to explain the kingdom. So the talent is applied on the temporal side to let people understand that when you have spiritual gifts, you should use them profitably too. Don't just keep them. And that is one of the basic facts, maybe the closing one that I would have mentioned first on Tuesday, that when somebody gives you a gift, it is the joy of the giver to see you use it. Are you with me? Believe me, if I give you a dress and I never saw you put it on, I have given you, but I may not be as happy as if I see you put it on. You have to use it. You don't bury it. What can you buy a gift? So when God gives you a gift, you keep it. You know what happened to us where we were before? At Zion? When they came upon us with, no way, you cannot do these things in this church. No baptism in the Holy Spirit. No deliverance. No healing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We don't do that here. You want to do it, you have to leave. The Lord said, leave. There is no sentiment about God's own things. God said, leave. God said, go and use my gift so that you may increase. Leave. Why will God hold you in bondage to one place when the whole universe is his own? The earth is the Lord and the fullness of it. Wherever you be, you can function for God. If you have fallen in love with a denomination, I tell people, you are worshipping the demon of denominational worship. It's a demon that doesn't let you see that Jesus is here and there and there and all over. Two Saturdays ago, I was talking to some pastors at Basita. I was invited to speak to some pastors. And I told them, you hinder the members of your congregation. I told them. I said, I don't want to stand before God and discover that I am the one who hindered those that I was shepherd over. So for me, I tell my members, some of them are here, I can't hold you to ransom. You belong to Jesus. You can visit another church. And if you want to go, go. I left one church to be here. Are you following me now? So if you see us as not taking you to heaven, for God's sake, go to another church. Go to heaven. If we meet there, I'll be happy. And I told them, there have been times in the past, Sunday morning, I'm going to church. I see one of my members by the roadside. I stop. The person comes in. And the person is not going to our church, going to another church. And I will take the person where I can and drop the person, go. Big deal. I told them. I told them that the church stands against the body. Isn't it true? The church stands against the body because the body is bigger than the church, what we call church. Church. There are fellowships. Abi? And they're part of the body. There are ministries. They're part of the body. But you see, pastor standing to hinder a ministry, a fellowship. And the reason is that they are counting the number of heads in the church and calculating how their income will be complete at the end of the month. Forget it. That is the reason. If this one goes now, the income drops. Abi? But if you're doing your work as a pastor, you should be increasing, not decreasing. I told them. And would you believe they were very happy? They were very happy. I told them, I said, when you invite me to a church to minister, I will stand and minister and I will not look back at the face of the pastor to see if he likes what I'm saying. I will talk until I finish. Don't invite me next time. That is all. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
I have yes. The first one is, in the Old Testament, particularly
and the Psalms, where David wrote about his enemies. He was asking God to do them harm. Sorry, he was asking God to harm his enemies, and even in some other chapters in the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, his own approach was completely different. In Matthew, he said, whoever is our enemy, we should pray for them. That if our enemy is hungry, we should give them food. If they are thirsty, we should give them water. If they have no clothes on, we should give them clothes. So, some time ago, there's a colleague of mine, he attends, I think, Liverpool. And he just changed to a Christian. He was really causing his enemies. And I told him, I said, look, you are correct. But when Jesus came, he has changed the whole thing. I said, I believe in the whole Bible, but I have more faith in the living, I mean, in the New Testament. Because that's where Jesus told us to do. I mean, what Jesus told us to do. So that's the first one. He will explain that. The second one is on this gift of God. There are so many young pastors. I'm sorry, I will mention the church. This CAC people, these young ones, 20, 21, 22, very young. Sometimes, I'm sorry, maybe they have not got the experience. Because this experience of life, we don't have it, you may misbehave. Sometimes they will like to curse. If you don't do this, I will do this on the pocket. And Baba just told us something about our lips, our tongues in the right hand. I know a lot of people who have cursed themselves with their lips. If this young pastor begin to say this, which is wrong, cannot affect the membership of the church?
Okay. The first question was about cursing your enemies, like David did. Yeah, I believe in the totality of the scriptures. That is why I know for sure that David lived in one dispensation. I live in another. That is believing the whole Bible. And I also know for sure, Jesus said, you do not put new wine into old wineskin. And he explained, if you put new wine into old wineskin, you will cause the old wineskin to burst, and the new wine will spill and form a mess. He's talking about Gospels. If you are in the New Testament, you don't live as if you were in the Old Testament. If you do that, what you get is a messed up spiritual life, period. You are confused. Unfortunately, a lot of people in many different areas prefer to apply the old covenant. Even when it comes to tithes. I was doing a revival in one church, and I told them, there is a question about tithes, and I told them, it is not commanded under the new covenant. The new covenant is a covenant of liberty. If you know the value of the new covenant, not only will you give 10% of your income, you will give more. Let us face it. You see, it is when you don't trust the Spirit of God to do His work that you open a book and your members must enter their tithes every month. Otherwise, when they die, you will not bury them. They do it in the cities. Village? It started in the city, spread into the village. You see, what is the thing? Look, if under the covenant that God calls a bad one, people were given 10%. This one that He calls eternal, that will never change, superb, is this 10% only that you should be given? It's how you teach the lesson. My church, we have one account for tithes and offerings. Nobody keeps any record of anybody's tithes and offerings. When you get to heaven, go and sort it out. But they bring the plate. You just put it in. I don't know how much anybody gives. Who cares? You put it in, and then they put it, tithes and offerings. That's all. Am I your God to sit down and be counting your tithes? After all, in many cases, you cause people to lie again when they give, because they don't even give 10%, and they call it tithe. Okay. What is said under the new covenant is this: let everybody go and make up his mind how much blessing he expects from the Lord. He says those who want God to give them very tiny blessings, give very tiny offering. Those who expect God to give them very big blessings, bountiful blessings, he says give bountifully. So make up your mind. Doesn't it? Can you see? Let everybody go and decide now who is going to force you. So there are covenants. And David lived in one, we live in another one. That's it. And I tell people, if you want to pray those prayers like David did, then pray to God. Let enemies pursue me all my life, like they pursued David. Let me continue to win, but let me not rest. David never rested. From the time of his youth until his old age, if Saul did not pursue him, the Philistines did. If the Philistines did not, Absalom did. Look, I tell people, if that is what you want, begin to pray against what Jesus said. Begin to curse your enemies. You see, we pray in the flesh. In the flesh. Soulish prayer. You're praying from the level of your soul, not from the level of your spirit. There was a lady who was sick. She was a member of our church. She was a member of our church. I was in Ghana doing sabbatical leave when God reveals to me that she had a pregnancy that was not developing. But that at the time that she would have delivered the baby, after a long time, she would die. So I came home from Ghana. And I spoke to the pastor in her village at that time. We have marched now at the permanent site. I said, there was this revelation that I saw in Ghana about this lady. And he said, oh yes. He said, it is known that she is currently carrying a pregnancy that ought to have resulted in birth, but it's been long. He said, but the lady had left our church to go to Mountain of Fire because she thought that our prayers were not hot. So she went to a place where the prayers were hot. So I said, well, okay. I said, since she has gone to a Mountain of Fire, then I don't have any problem. But then it occurred to me, look, if God knew that she had gone to a Mountain of Fire and God revealed it to me, let me at least act. So I sent for her. And we opened this place at night because of her. We sat here, Professor Adeniyi, myself, and Sister Mary. And we talked with her. And boy, she had been raining fire on her enemies. And I said, who are these your enemies? She said, my sisters now. Ah. How are you so sure? She is very sure. You see, those are people who curse your enemies. Unfortunately, you always have somebody in mind. May God forgive you. And you can be dead wrong.
Yes.
You can be dead wrong. So, we spent time to convince her that those prayers are righteous. We couldn't. I said, really? So it is your enemies that will give you peace. It is not Jesus. Abi? It is not Jesus. It is your enemies. He prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So, does he need your enemies to agree to your peace? He doesn't. Why must he? Finally, we ministered to her. We let her go. She went back to her church. She said some people told her that those that were witches in our own church. The doors of the church are open. A witch can come in. We cannot put somebody at the gate who will say, you are a witch, go back. You are not a witch coming. Do you follow me now? We cannot do that. The doors are thrown open. Anybody can come in. May you meet with Christ when you come. Jesus did not come for those who were righteous. No. Eventually, the lady died. The lady died. Too bad. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. You asked, did you ask one question? What? Oh, you wanted to. Praise the Lord. Did I answer your questions? There is still one, Abby. Oh, the young pastors. Well, pray for the young pastors. I know what you are talking about. You say, I tell people, so these young pastors, if people think that if they, well, you will see, the fact that you have a gift does not mean that God has called you to be a pastor. The gifts are given to people to function under the pastor in the church. Operational aspects. Do you follow me? But a pastor himself can have gifts. But the gift is not what makes you a pastor. Being a pastor is a calling. It's not a gift. It's a ministerial gift. It's not the ordinary operational gift. I hope you follow me. It's a calling. Like you are called to be an evangelist. Okay. Or a prophet. Many of them, they're stubborn. I say it. They're difficult. They're arrogant. They have no mentors. They have no mentors. You because you have a gift, you go to start a church. What about other areas? The gift, what about fruit? The fruit is more important than the gift. You have the gift, you lack the fruit. You start a church because you want to see yourself as Lord over some people. Even if there are six people there, you are happy. You are very happy. It's almost impossible to reach them. The thing that is by demonstration, you know, that you'll be a good pastor. Please just pray for them. That is all. Some of them were dealing with their cases. They don't even know how to relate with their wives. Authority. Authority. Are you with me? Authority. Ah. Waiting. May God help us. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. I just want to ask this question. How can somebody discover his gift and notice it? Because something happened to me when I went for treatment in England. I was in the King's College Hospital in central London. And in fact, it was there I met Christ. Because I'm the only black man in that hospital and in that ward. There are some Jews who are just opposite my bed. One morning he called me. He said I should come and, man of God, come and pray for me. I'm not a pastor. How should I? We can pray together, but I'm not a pastor. Not quite the hospitals came in, the key of the chapel very close, and they transferred me beside that that chapel. That anytime I want to go and pray, this is the key. Go there, go and pray. I don't even mind that. When I'm up, you know, closer to death, you're telling me this, in my mind, let me just pray. I come to heal. So many things happened to me in that hospital. And since I came back, my life has never been the same again. But I don't know how one can. Because I have to even dream when I was about to go for an operation. There are some nurses there, Nigerian nurses there, that should go out of this hospital because they want to kill me. I said, no. They don't want to kill me. They want to heal me. But since different things have been appearing, but how can one discover and not use his gift?
We are going to talk about how to know your gift later, because we will take the gifts, okay, and they express differently. So we will see that later. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what we have shared today. Thank you for your righteous Son, Jesus Christ, who brought to us the things of your Spirit. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, ever faithful, ever sure. Thank you for grace to receive these eternal things. Thank you for grace to glorify you in the earth. And thank you for our hope in glory with Christ Jesus. We bless your name, our Father. Accept our thanks, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A good clap offering to the Lord.